In the name of the God who created us, the Christ who redeems us, and the Spirit that sustains us all, welcome home, children of God. It is a joy to see everyone this morning. A couple of announcements in the life of the church. Please do make sure that you check out the announcements in the bulletin. You'll find updates there on different church programs. Midweek Manna will resume this Wednesday at noon. Our midweek Bible study will continue with our study of Ezekiel for the next few weeks. So I hope you'll make plans to join us on Wednesday at noon for Bible study. You will also find details there or in the care line also for the service tomorrow for Andrea Campbell. As you are most aware, Andrea died earlier last week, and her service will be tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock here in the sanctuary with visitation today from 3 to 5 o'clock downstairs in the new chapel. We also have an announcement about treats and treasures. Okay.
Greetings. If you're not remembering, it's getting close to July. And that means that it's getting close to treats and treasures. For those that have not gotten to be a part of that yet, it'll be a great experience and a wonderful time for women and men to share putting together our goodies. Now, we won't be accepting things until July the 28th on a Saturday. And then we'll have a drop-off where you can drop off all of your goodies that you're willing to give to the church. Everything except clothes. We'll take everything but clothes and shoes. But for right now, starting today, and you don't have it with you, I'm sure, but you're welcome to bring your jewelry and any silver items or silver plate items that you want to get rid of to the church and give it to me, to Kay Stevens. I asked for the jewelry early because there's a lot of bits and pieces to jewelry and I have to sort and polish and clean them up and make sure they're not broken. And if they're broken, they find a new home, but not at Treats and Treasures. So next week, you've got a whole week here, and the week after that, and the week after that, all the weeks in July, and a 1 week in August to continue bringing stuff. So if you have jewelry, look through the old jewelry boxes and go, why am I keeping this? I never wear it. Maybe somebody would enjoy it. Please bring it. Thank you.
Friends, let's gather our hearts and our minds as together we prepare to worship God.
Good morning. Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Come into God's presence and shout with the heavens.
Our God is very great.
Clothed with honor and wrapped in glorious light.
Our God is very great.
Serving tirelessly and caring endlessly.
Our God is very great.
Calling us to humility and compassion.
Our God is very great.
Come into God's presence to listen and hear God speak. Let us pray. God of majesty and might, blow through this place like a mighty wind. Inspire us with your presence, cover us with your love, that we might be your people, serving others with care and compassion. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please join me in the call to confession. Brothers and sisters, nothing we can say or do can ever separate us from God's mercy and love. The gifts of God are eternal and will never be withdrawn. God's ultimate desire and purpose is not to punish, but to forgive. So together we may pray with hope, not fear. Let us pray together. Creating God, you stretched out the heavens like a tent.
That's your dwelling place over the water.
You are carried on the clouds and on the wings of the wind.
The winds are your messengers, flaming fire your servants.
You set the earth on its foundations, never to be moved.
The deep waters cover
even the mountains, that at your voice they fled, coming to rest as you as appointed. Beyond the boundary you set, never to cover the earth again. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, our God, our very earth.
Your works are many and varied, and in wisdom you have made everything.
Loving God, in our human condition, you know who we are and what we are. You know our awkwardness with ourselves, with each other, and with you.
Friends, the proof of God's amazing love is this, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, be with you all. Please share signs of Christ's peace with your neighbors. This morning, for our continued series on folk music, the song I chose for today is one of my childhood favorites. Hopefully many of you know it. It is a song that has lots of mythology around it. In truth, there's a little bit in the bulletin about it, but so you'll know. This is Puff the Magic Dragon by Peter, Paul, and Mary, which was written by a member of the trio from a poem that one of his classmates at Cornell had written. It is a song about childhood and childhood innocence. So we'll listen now together, I hope. Let's go.
In a land of on a lee, little Jackie Baker loved that rascal thought and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, but the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land of on a lee. The magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Annalee. Together they would travel on a boat to its billows sail. Jackie he kept the lookout for a child of gigantic tale. Noble kings and princes would bow whenever they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Puffle roared out his name. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. A dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant's rings make way for other toys. One great ice did happen, Teddy Paper came no more. And Puff, that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. Oh, his head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry lane. Without his lifelong friend, Puff could not be brave.
Day. Join me, if you will, in prayer. Good and gracious God, open our hearts and our minds, that as your word is read and proclaimed, it may truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Amen. Reading from Psalm 104. Let my whole being bless the Lord. Lord, my God, how fantastic you are. Overhead, the birds in the sky make their home, chirping loudly in the trees. From your lofty house, you water the mountains. The earth is filled, full by the fruit of what you've done. You make grass grow for cattle. You make plants for human farming in order to get food from the ground and wine, which cheers people's hearts. Along with oil which makes the face shine and bread which sustains the human heart. The Lord's trees are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon which God planted, where the birds make their nests, where the stork has a home in the cypresses. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I'm still alive. Let my praise be pleasing to God. I am rejoicing in the Lord. Let sinners be wiped clean from the earth. Let the wicked be no more. But let my whole being bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Should it please you, O God, to speak to this unworthy servant, then speak. And this at all times, speak to us as only you can in the silence of our hearts. Amen. I was going through a box in my office the other day that I still hadn't unpacked yet. And in it, I found a paper-clipped bunch of Far Side cartoons. I loved the Far Side. I mean, those were great cartoons. You remember them as one cell, but they always told a great story. One of my favorite ones is a little kid with glasses on and his backpack, and he's pushing against a door that says pull, and at the bottom it says Midvale School for the Gifted. Another of my favorites is three dinosaurs who are standing around smoking cigarettes, and at the bottom it says the real reason the dinosaurs went extinct. My very favorite one, the one that I'm going to put on my office door, because that's where it used to be, is a picture of a cow sitting on a hillside in a Buddhist meditative pose. And the cow's little voice bubble is saying, "Don't forget to stop and eat the roses." And at the bottom it just says, "Cow philosophy." I'm not sure I would really advise stopping and eating the roses, but to stop and smell the roses, that I think is pretty good advice, especially in the world we share. There's a phenomenon in social science that's known as the social acceleration of time. This is a theory that tries to explain the way that our daily living has changed over the last century or so. Because if you think about it, human society really has been moving at lightning speed for more than a century. For example, it is generally accepted by historians that the wheel, as we know it, was invented somewhere in Mesopotamia around the year 4000 BCE, so about 6,000 years ago. It would take almost those whole 6,000 years to go from the wheel on a cart to a wheel on a self-propelling car. We would take less than 70 years from the car to landing on the moon. Even the means by which we consume information has changed dramatically. The oldest known writing using letters rather than hieroglyphs dates to around 2700 BCE. It was not until 3,000 years later, more than 3,000 years later, that movable type was invented in northern China. I know we were all taught that Gutenberg did it, but the Chinese actually did it 500 years earlier. But after that invention of movable type in the year 1000 or so, it would not be until the late 1800s that James Hammond would invent the typewriter. In less than a century after the typewriter, the home computer. In less than a decade after the home computer, the pocket computer, the iPad, you name it. Even the Titanic, which has been in the news the last few days, was scheduled to make a record-breaking trip across the Atlantic, Southampton to New York, in just 7 days. Now you can fly from Kennedy to London in 6 hours. The world we live in and the things we use to live in it and the way we live in that world, the expectations we place on that world and on one another have gone into hyperdrive over the last century. A second cultural phenomenon had a head-on collision with that social acceleration of time in March of 2020. You remember March of 2020? That's when our lives went from warp speed to standstill overnight. All of a sudden, the things we took for granted that happened beyond the walls of our homes were out the window. We entered into what would be called our new normal. Researchers and social scientists will no doubt be unpacking the realities and the history of the COVID pandemic for decades. But I think there are a couple of lessons that we can draw from that collision that happened in that moment today. Now, I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of my time before COVID, before it sent me home and grounded me for quite a while, I spent a lot of that time telling myself and the people around me that I didn't have time to stop and smell the roses because I had way too much to do in this life. Have you ever had a to-do list like that? A to-do list is about to to-do you in. That's what most of us had pre-COVID, wasn't it? You know, one of the strange things about pastors, one of the many strange things about pastors, is that we have a tendency to judge ourselves and the effectiveness of our ministries based on our level of exhaustion. If you're not struggling to keep up with your work, you're not doing enough, was the mantra of ministry for so many of us. There was very little rose-smelling time built into the calendar.
We needed to be spending our time doing more valuable things, things that would further the kingdom of God in the world. And we were not alone in that enterprise. That expectation came to us from congregations full of people with to-do lists just as full as ours. Now, I don't mean that congregations meant their pastors ill or anything like that. I just mean that a community of faith made up of really, really busy people who are living into the busyness of the world are not naturally going to tell their pastors, oh no, take it easy. That just doesn't happen. So for a long time, the Church of Jesus Christ, the unfolding story of the eternal God in creation, became complicit in yielding to this kind of culture. We made an idol out of busyness and a virtue out of exhaustion. And then one day, we all got grounded. I remember when we all began to take COVID seriously back in March of 2020. Up to that point, it had been kind of an isolated thing. Big cities with international airports were having hot spots, but we lived in Jackson, Mississippi. Jackson, Mississippi's airport is not a major destination. We weren't real worried about it. I was up in Baltimore for a denominational meeting when things started to get serious. But even then, I thought, this is just going to be so inconvenient, but no big deal. I had planned on being at that meeting and leaving there on Friday and going to D.C. for the weekend. I had tickets to two operas at the Kennedy Center, and I realized COVID was for real when I got the email canceling the opera. Then the trains were canceled. Then restaurants started to close. That's about when I decided I didn't want to get on an airplane and fly back to Jackson. So I went to Baltimore Airport and rented one of the last cars they had and started driving back to Jackson. From the time I left Maryland to the time I got back to Mississippi, we knew a whole lot more about how our lives were going to change. Now, I'll confess, it took me a while to get used to it. I was really antsy being at home all the time. Brian can tell you. It was a true test of our marriage. Because he worked from home. He had everything he needed there. I was just wandering around the house bored. Because all of my work was face to face. I couldn't go to the hospitals. I couldn't go to each Bible study. We didn't know Zoom yet. All of a sudden, that full calendar was empty. Well, it took me a while during those first weeks of COVID to begin to learn a few lessons about that time. It was only when we stopped a little bit, put a pause on the busyness and the hurriedness, that many of us began to realize what a gift downtime can be. It began with little things like sitting on our front porch in the evenings, having a drink and talking to our neighbors as they went by on their walks. Or having time to read one of those books in that dangerously tall stack in my library of books that I really am going to read one day. I promise I really am going to read all of them. Or sitting on the porch listening to the crickets and the frogs begin to sing as the sun begins to set. One of the side effects of buying in to the busyness of our culture, to the rapid pace of our society, is that we lose the ability to value those simple things that are not accomplishing something, but are merely the things that just happen in life. Those things that are just there for no reason other to enjoy them. In other words, the roses. You see, the only real purpose of a rose is to be a rose. Its job in the world is to be fragrant and be beautiful. There is no insect that feeds only on pollen from a rose. There is no bird that relies on the rose. The rose is merely an act of God's generosity in beauty. And its job is to remind us of that work that God has done. You see, friends, we're called to revel in those simple things. To revel in those things that remind us that joy, pleasure, delight, gladness are all threads that God used to weave together creation. But when we're running through life at breakneck speed, it's hard to notice those things. I chose as my song this morning, Puff the Magic Dragon. Peter, Paul, and Mary. It's one of my favorite songs. I love it because it's so incredibly simple. Peter, Paul, and Mary, some of the boldest voices in American music for justice and for peace. You could never say that their music was politically neutral in the 1960s. But they still took time to sing a song about a little boy and his imaginary dragon. Nothing but imagination being celebrated in that song. Like we did this morning. Took a moment and sang together. We're the only church in creation singing Puff the Magic Dragon this morning, folks. I guarantee you. We're it. We are it. But it felt good doing it, didn't it? I don't know that it brought the kingdom of God an inch closer to reality, but I heard it lifting the hearts of the people of God in this room. We all continue to search for meaning in the world. But now that we've learned that not everything has to happen at breakneck speed, that we can all survive slow, perhaps there's a lesson for us to be learned there about slowing down and stopping, smelling the roses, or just noticing them in the first place. You see, friends, God wants us to find joy and gladness in the living of life. Not to ignore the needs and the very real wants of this world. Not at all. But to not let those things blind us to the joy. The joy that Jackie Paper found with Puff. The joy you find visiting with a neighbor. The joy of seeing parts of God's creation whose only job is to bring beauty into the world. The joy of singing a childhood song together in church. Usually I stand in this pulpit week after week and encourage you to go out and make this a better and more just world. And I do that again this morning. That is always part of what we are called to do as the disciples of Jesus Christ. But we cannot forget that we are also called to delight in the work of God in the world. To stop and smell the roses. To delight in the wonders of creation. To notice that the joy that God has woven into the world is there for no reason other than God's desire that we know it. That we know joy. That we know delight, that we know gladness. Karl Barth said that the clasping of the hands in prayer is the beginning of a revolution against the disorder of the world. I would add to that the noticing of beauty in the world is the beginning of a revolution against the cynicism of the world. So friends, go out today. Go out and work for justice. Go out and work for peace. Go out and do the heavy lifting of the gospel in the world. But while you're doing it, while you are doing that urgent, urgent work of the kingdom of God in the world, don't forget to delight in the blessings of God. You'll find them in creation. You'll find them in one another. You'll find them in expected and unexpected places. Damascus, wherever you look, wherever you are, the gladness and the joy of God is woven into the creation around you. And thanks be to God for that. In a world like this, thanks be to God for that. Amen.
Please join me in the affirmation of faith. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not alone, but belong body and soul in the life and death to the faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. What is the chief end of humankind? To glorify God and take joy in God forever. What rule has God given us to direct how we may glorify and find joy in God?
The word of Scripture is written in the Scriptures. These Scriptures teach us what duty God requires of us.
And what does God's law require of us?
Christ teaches us to live in summary, and he says,
you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Friends, all that we have and all that we are gifts from God's almighty hands. As we receive our offering this morning, I invite you to bring your offering to the offering boxes you'll find at the front of the intermediate aisles of the church. Also, if you are visiting with us this morning and would like to learn more about Westover Hills Presbyterian, I hope you'll take one of the visitor cards you find in the pew. You may give that to an usher as you leave or put that in the box as well. We would love to talk to you more about life here
at Westover. There's a reason we don't remember who the act was that followed the Beatles and Ed Sullivan. That was great, y'all. Thank you. Friends, as we go to God in prayer this morning, I invite you to lift up to God both the things that are weighing heavy on your heart, also the things that make your heart light and joyful. God is there and here. God is near now and always to hear our prayers, to take them on to God's self, and to join us in our moments of joy and in our moments of sorrow. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, you are our only comfort. And what a comfort you are. In moments, O God, when our hearts are heavy, when the burdens of life weigh down upon us, when the sorrow of loss takes hold of us, when the worries of the world enfold us, we take heart in knowing that you are with us. So hear us now, O God, as we lift in voice or in silence those things that weigh on our hearts today. In Christ, O God, we pray not only for ourselves, but for the world around us. We pray for those who are in need today, in body, in mind, or in spirit. For those who live under political, economic, or religious injustice. We pray for those who have been pushed to the margins of your world. We pray, O God, for all your children in every place.
We pray to you also, O God, for those things in our hearts that lift us and give life to our spirits. Those glimpses of joy, those moments of heaven, those delightful things that we see and know in your creation. For the joy we find in friendship and relationship. For the joy of the company of this church and the fellowship of the disciples of Jesus Christ. For the joys of creation itself. For the beauty of the rose, the glory of the sunset, the nurture of the rain. We pray all of these things, O God, because in Christ Jesus we know that our prayers land on listening and loving ears. So to our own words and our hearts today, we add the words that Christ gave us as we boldly pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, go into this day to love, serve, and delight in the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the everlasting companionship of the Holy Spirit be with us and keep us in this and in every day. And one voice may all God's children say, Amen. Amen.